Grace and peace are yours in abundance in your knowledge of God and your Savior, Jesus Christ. God's word for us today comes from both the Old Testament reading and the gospel that you just heard. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 17, we hear, in summary, "You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." And from today's gospel in Luke 10, "Behold, a lawyer stood up to put Jesus to the test. Desiring to justify himself, he said to Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" That question, "Who is my neighbor?" does not appear to have been asked with the most innocent intention. We're told that the man asking it was putting Jesus to the test, and that this man wished to justify himself. Now we know he knew the right answer from Scripture was to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. But by asking, "Who is my neighbor?" he is at the very least implying that there must be people who are not. Was he right? Who is my neighbor? Jesus responds by telling a story, certainly one of his most well-known. It's provocative, deliberately so, for in that story, it's the religious professionals who pass right by a robbery victim without helping. Jesus chooses to make the hero of his story a Samaritan, a person that any upstanding Israelite would regard as unclean, a total outsider, a person to be avoided at all costs. But in the script, Jesus writes, it's the Samaritan who is the noble one, the only one whose actions are neighborly. The conclusion, the meaning of the story, it's obvious, isn't it? Who is my neighbor? It's a question that continues to haunt people who take Jesus' words seriously. This incident makes it clear that a person can be well-versed in Bible studies and know a lot of right answers and still come to their own conclusion that love your neighbor as yourself is way too broad, way too open-ended. Conventional wisdom says we've got to narrow this down to a manageable list of people who deserve our help. But you see, don't you? Jesus blows that way of thinking up by telling this story. Who is my neighbor? The man who asked this question apparently wanted Jesus to give him a list of who is his neighbor and who is not. But did you notice Jesus doesn't do that? He turned the whole thing around. He turned it into a portrait of what it looks like to be a neighbor. And to be candid, it looks messy. It looks inconvenient. It looks stressful. It looks like mercy. Or think of it this way. The man asking the question was looking for exceptions to the rule. Jesus tells a story in which he says, essentially, mercy does not make exceptions. What do you think about that? Be careful. Your response says a lot about how you regard Jesus and his kingdom, a kingdom founded on mercy. And if truthfully this story kind of gets under your skin a little bit, kind of bothers you, please take another look. And to summarize, Samaritan person sees this half-dead robbery victim, feels compassion, and takes action at great personal cost. Now consider the man who told this story came into this world in compassion. He sees the damage that sin has caused, and he takes action, and it costs him his life. Human nature says, I will love my neighbor as myself. Just tell me who he is, and if I like him, I'll try. But Jesus says, hold on. You need someone to show mercy to you first. You need someone to pay for you, give you lodging, revive you. All of this I have done. My cross is mercy for you. So with my mercy in your heart, go and be merciful. And so Jesus follows his story by asking that lawyer point blank, which of these three do you think proved to be a neighbor to the man who fell among the robbers? And he said, the one who showed him mercy. And Jesus said, you go and do likewise. But even after hearing that, a person might say, what does this being merciful consist of? What's it made of? It's a great question. And it turns out this is something God has been talking about for a very long time. Look no further than today's Old Testament lesson taken from Leviticus chapter 19. And if you want to look at your bulletin, I'd encourage that. If you want to just listen as I read it, that's fine too. But listen as how God in the Old Testament describes what it's like to be the merciful neighbor. He says, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field right up to its edge. Neither shall you gather the gleanings of your harvest. You shall not strip your vineyard bare. Neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. You shall not steal. You shall not deal falsely. You shall not lie to one another. You shall not swear by my name falsely, thereby profaning the name of the Lord. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired worker shall not remain with you all night until morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind, but you shall fear the Lord your God. I am the Lord. You shall do no injustice in court. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great, but in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. You shall not go around as a slanderer of your people. You shall not stand up against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason frankly with your neighbor. lest you incur sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Did you hear, did you see all the references to neighbor in this passage? If you're not sure what being a merciful neighbor is all about, God spells it out here. It's giving some of your abundance to the poor. It's dealing with others honestly. It means not taking advantage of others from a position of power. It means treating people with integrity, whether they can help you out in return or not. It's to watch how you speak of and to others. And it is especially about what you harbor in your heart, avoiding hate and the nursing of grudges, all summarized in that phrase, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, when you hear a list like that, one thing becomes clear. Our problem is not that we don't know how to be merciful. Our problem is that sometimes we just don't want to. We don't feel like being the good neighbor. We don't think we should. Like the man who asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? We would prefer to narrow the definition to something manageable, if not easy. So, if God's description of a merciful neighbor just seems a little too far beyond what you can muster, I have good news for you. You've identified something crucial. Being a merciful neighbor is not native to us. It does not come naturally. But when you confess your inability to be a merciful neighbor to everyone in your path, not only will you enjoy the freedom of forgiveness in Christ, but you can catch Jesus' attitude of mercy and unselfish love. God is right there to help you in this. That's why each section of Leviticus that we read ends with those words. You heard it. I am the Lord. It's not as if we need a reminder of who's speaking. But we do need the reminder that the Lord God, with His Son Jesus and the Holy Spirit, is the source of mercy. Is the source of compassionate action. The more you focus on Jesus, I promise you, the less you'll think, who is my neighbor? The more you focus on Jesus, the more you'll be thinking, where is my neighbor? So that you can go serve him or her in the likeness of Jesus. God grant it to each of us. Would you please pray with me? Lord, renew our vision to be Christ where we live, to reach out in mercy to the lost, for each cup of kindness to the least in our midst is an offering of worship to the throne. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Amen.